It's an honor to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. You know, our greatest condition is when God is near. The greatest condition of a church is when God is near. The greatest condition of a home is when God is near. An individual's life, our greatest condition is when God is near. Now, how can you tell the condition of a people? How can you accurately gauge the condition of a people of God or of a church? How would we gauge? More importantly, how would he gauge and how does he gauge the condition of a church, of a people of God? Jim Cimbala said these words concerning Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British pulpiteer, had said in a sermon almost exactly 100 years before, the condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a graceometer, and from it we may judge the amount of divine working among a people. If God be near a church, it must pray. And if he be not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be a slothfulness in prayer. The prayer meetings of a church are an accurate gauge of the condition of a congregation, of a group of people. Promptness and energy and liveliness in prayer is one of the first tokens of his presence, of his attendance. He went on to say, Jim Cimbala's words, the more we pray, the more we sense our need to pray. How many have found that to be true? And the more we sense a need to pray, the more we want to pray. Now, I know this morning that I'm speaking to a praying church. And it's an honor to speak to a praying church. But I ask, can we be further exhorted concerning prayer? Can we go deeper and climb higher and run faster in prayer? Can we dig? Can we plow? Can we sow? And can we reap? I want to announce to the church today that there is still room on the gauge. There is room for rising. We can increase in our prayer life. We can increase the power level of prayer in this house. A greater condition awaits us. Matthew 21, verse 13, and he said to them, and he says to us, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The Passion Translation reads, he said to them, my dwelling place will be known as a house of prayer. Is this what the lost call his house? Is this what our children call his house? Is this what we call his house? Is this what his house is known as in our world? The Message Bible, my house was designated a house of prayer. It is time we heed the words of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the written word that he declared verbally on this earth. It is time like never before that we recognize and realize and accept and embrace and run with his designation upon his house. This is what he desired that his house would be known as. This is what he declared that his house would be called, a house of prayer. If it's not called a house of prayer, what is it called? If it's not known as a house of prayer, what is it known as? Again, our text, Matthew 21, verse 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Passion Translation, and he said to them, my dwelling place will be known as a house of prayer, but you have made it into a hangout for thieves. Now, I understand what is being said in this portion of Scripture. For those of us who know this portion of Scripture, we realize, we know what was going on in the house of the Lord. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to the church today that the thievery is sometimes less obvious. Is the Lord not robbed if his house is known as something other than a house of prayer? Is the Lord not robbed if it's called other things, even if good, yet not first called a house of prayer? A house vibrant with prayer, a house concerned with prayer, a house burdened with prayer, a house that knows where the power lies, where the power comes from, and tends to the power plant, the boiler room of the house of the Lord. Is the Lord not robbed for knowing for all these other things, but we lack the power, we lack the prayer, we lack the very thing that Jesus walked into the house and said, my house shall be known as a house of prayer. How do we gauge a church? How do we test the waters, the condition of a church? What do we look for? What room do we head to first to test the condition of a church? In many cases today, the church is concerned with a different graceometer. God be near a church, they say, yet the prayer meeting is hardly breathing. God be near a church, but there is no prayer meeting. God be near a church, and all there is a plaque. Prayer room. And you look inside, not a soul found. God be near a church, no prayer service. The very thing that Jesus said his house would be known as, non-existent. Everything else flowing and functioning, all of the programs slick as can be, but no prayer. Leonard Ravenhill said these words, "The dampening of the flame of holy desire is destructive of the vital and aggressive forces in church life. God requires to be represented by a fiery church, or he is not in any proper sense represented at all. God himself is all fire, and his church, if it is to be like him, must also be at white heat. The great and eternal interests of heaven-born, God-given religion are the only things about which the church can afford to be on fire. Yet holy zeal need not to be fussy in order to be consuming. Our Lord was the incarnate antithesis of nervous excitability, the absolute opposite of intolerant or clamorous declamation. Yet the zeal of God's house consumed him, and the world is still feeling the glow of his fierce, consuming flame and responding to it with an ever-increasing readiness and ever-enlarging response." Listen, prayer is flame of holy desire. That's that yearning that the Lord wants, that desperation. We recognize how desperately we need to pray. That we understand the designation upon his house. That we don't turn to other things. But we're concerned with what he is concerned. A church known as a house of prayer represents the Lord properly. It represents his heart. It represents his concern and his designation. The gauge in the power plant, in the boiler room, reading white heat. Is it possible that the less we pray, the less we sense our need to pray? And the less we sense a need to pray, the less we want to pray? How could we be so foolish as to think we need little prayer? How can we not sense our critical need of prayer? How can we not want to pray? Oh, that this generation would not displace and replace Christ's designation. I'm so blessed to see so many young people involved in prayer in this house. It's truly a statement of the condition of this place. I thank God for a praying church because it's what blesses his heart. It's what he wants his house to be known as. It's what he wants his house to be first called. I get the picture of the Lord sitting on the outside of a committee in full talks discussing what the church should be called and what the church should be known for, what is most important to them in their eyes, what they feel will have the most impact. And there is the Lord unable to speak, unable to cast his vote. Further words from Pastor Jim Cimbala, and this is so true. No matter what I preach or what we claim to believe in our heads, the future will depend upon our times of prayer. In the world of advertising, every copywriter knows the power of two magic words, free and new. We see them in the supermarket, in the newspaper, on billboards, and consumers respond. In the church today, we are falling prey to the appeal of new. The old truths of the gospel don't seem spectacular enough. We're restless for the latest, greatest, newest teaching or technique. We pastors, in particular, seem to search for a shortcut or some dynamic new strategy that will fire up our churches. But can I say to all of us here this morning that the reality is Jesus knew what would properly fire up his church, and that is why he so clearly said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." I remember going to prayer meetings as a young kid. We never missed pre-service prayer ever. You can say, well, that's because you're a PK. All right, pastor's kid, for those of you who don't know what that is. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we had prayer meetings throughout the week. Seeking the Lord, times of prayer and fasting, called to the house, night after night. I'm so thankful for all those that are pillars in this house that cared enough about the boiler room, the engine room of this place to keep the mill running, that have been faithfully praying all these years. That's why we're here. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British pulpiteer, had said in a sermon almost exactly 100 years before, "Well, it seems there's always been this dilemma, this great struggle with and against the declaration of Jesus concerning his house. It's not just a new thing. It's not just a thing our generation is struggling with. Our modern day world. We know the enemy wants prayerless churches. Are we not driven to pray? Do we not know how desperately we need to pray? That it's not just that we ought to pray. As that motivation, the motivation of that form soon runs out and we quit because the flesh is too strong. The atmosphere must be one of faith, not simply ought to pray. I ought to pray. You get to pray. What an honor, what a privilege to come into the house of the Lord so freely in our land and pray. The connection we have with God, one-on-one connection, and the power of the corporate connection As we come into his house and respect his heart. He said, I want my house known as a house of prayer. Lord, if that's your heart, I'll be there. We don't set prayer meetings up so all the leaders can go, yes, you see how full it was? It's because Jesus said, my house will be known as a house of prayer. I'm looking for the day where the prayer meeting in this church is this big. Now, I know that it is on a Tuesday night. Thank God for Christ City Prayer. But can you imagine on Sunday mornings? People like, I don't know what is with that place or with those Christians, but they show up half hour before service just to pray, just to get the engine going, get that boiler room hot, white hot, so that there's no wasted time in the service, no priming the pump. You know what I'm talking about? You're finally with it on the fourth song, and then we shut it down. Instead of being so full and so ready, that as soon as the first chord is hit, this place erupts. This is the heart of Jesus. This is not my message. This is not the message of any human being. This is the message of God Almighty. Yes, he walked this earth. And while he was here, we know that he walked into the temple and he saw some things that he didn't like. He kicked over the tables. He declared that his house should be known as a house of prayer. This is still his heart. This has not changed. Leonard Ravenhill. I'm sharing some quotes this morning because these are just so good. Sunday morning attendance shows how popular the church is. Sunday night shows how popular the preacher is. Wow. Wednesday prayer meetings, for them it was Wednesday, shows how popular God is. I recently read this. I'm becoming good friends with these old guys, you know. Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century London preacher, this is amazing, learned what it was to cooperate with God and to see his power transform many thousands of people over several decades. People often travel to his church. Why? To learn the secret of his success. When visitors would come to Spurgeon's church, he would take them to the basement prayer room, where people were always on their knees interceding. He called this prayer room the powerhouse of the church. If the engine room is out of action, Spurgeon explains, then the whole mill will grind to a halt. We cannot expect blessing if we do not ask. I want to ask this morning, what's the first thing we show people when they ask the secret of success? When people come to the church, what's the first thing we want to show them? Heaven forbid it, it's a sound system or lights. Heaven forbid it's certain classrooms. Let's take them to the prayer room. Let's say, look at the power. This is the condition. This is what God is after. First things first, my house shall be known as a house of prayer. Are all other things important? Absolutely. But if we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. Are we concerned with his first concern? Examine your own heart. Yes, he wants his house called a house of worship, a house of blessing, a house of community, a house of giving, a house of service, a house of love. But he said, my house shall first be called a house of prayer. Because if prayer is right, all those other things will function properly with full power and full anointing from on high. Condition. What is the condition that pleases the Lord? It's the holy condition of prayer. A church at white heat, a people committed to the powerhouse of the church, a people committed to having the church known as what Jesus wants it known as. A people that pray not just because they ought to, but because they need to, and they want to, and they live to, and they refuse to have it any other way. If there is lack of interest in prayer, there is lack of interest concerning Jesus' heart for his church. If we're not interested in prayer, no matter our age, no matter how long we've been at this, if we're not interested in prayer, the prayer rooms of the house, prayer in his house, there is lack of concern for Jesus' heart. We must contend for the prayer meetings, for the prayer meetings of the church. We must fight for them and hold to them and honor them. Give our lives to them. We cannot let the engine room fail in action. I thank God for a praying church. Again, I thank the Lord for all the saints that cared enough to keep this mill running. There's been trying times. There's been great times. All those that were faithful. Didn't walk away, but held to the prayer rooms of the church. That knew the designation placed upon the house of the Lord. That's Jesus' vision for his house. Listen to these words. Faith gives birth to prayer and grows stronger, strikes deeper, rises higher in the struggles and wrestlings of mighty petitioning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance and realization of the inheritance of the saints. Faith, too, is humble and persevering, preserving. It can wait and pray. It can stay on its knees or lie in the dust. It is the one great condition of prayer. The lack of it lies at the root of all poor praying. What an era of glorious achievements would dawn for the church and for the world if only there could be reproduced a race of saints of like mighty faith, of like wonderful praying as those found in Hebrews 11. It is not the intellectually great that the church needs, nor is it men of wealth that the times demand. It is not people of great social influence that this day requires. Above everybody and everything else, it is men of faith, men of mighty prayer, men and women after the fashion of the saints and heroes enumerated in Hebrews who obtained a good report through faith that the church and the whole wide world of humanity needs. I want to ask today, how do we gauge a church? How do people gauge a church? When looking for a church, do they head to the powerhouse to see its action? This is where Jesus would go. If Jesus came to Christ City today, or you came to Christ City next Sunday looking for a church, you know where he'd head. He'd be looking, do they have a prayer service? Do they have a prayer meeting? I'm going to go check it out. I want to see what kind of activity. I want to see if they're praying or playing. Because that would be his great concern. He would judge the condition of the house on the prayer meeting and on the prayer of his people. Some people walk in and they judge the condition of the house based on the volume level, whether the lights are up or down. Or they judge the condition of the house based on the demographic, the age groups represented. Some judge the condition of the house based on the coffee at the cafe. Got to find a better church with a better roast. Just a little plug. We got great coffee back there. This is the reality. Young people today are walking in. They're basing the condition of the house, not only young people, on the wrong things. And they're picking churches for the wrong reason. And they're linking up with other believers for the wrong reason. You know why you go to a church? You know why you link up? Because of the prayer meeting. Because Jesus is looking at the prayer meeting and he's saying, that's how I'm gauging my church. That's the condition. That's what I'm looking for. I might seem like an old guy. I'm not that old. Preaching an old-time sermon. But I'm going to preach Jesus' heart. Because he's still saying today that I want my house called a house of prayer. His heart hasn't changed. I pray for every person that ever enters into a building project in our country, our nation, that they consider the dimensions of the prayer room. That they have a heart for it. The Lord is accurately gauging the condition of every church, and he is using the prayer meeting to do so. He is near the praying church. Lord, let there be found here no slothfulness in prayer. And Lord, open our eyes to the true state of the engine rooms in every church. Isaiah 56, verses 7 and 8. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Mark 11, 17, then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? The message, my house was designated a house of prayer for the nations. I want to announce today that it has been designated so in this nation and for this nation by the Lord himself, that his house would be a house of prayer for Canada, for our nation. Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. The Lord knows the condition of every place. And the Lord is at work giving his son his inheritance through his churches at white heat known as places of prayer. Can we be those that run with his designation of his house? The Passion Translation, ask me to give you the nations and I will do it. And they shall become your legacy. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth. Let us thank God for the condition of this church. I truly do believe that he is well pleased. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Monday nights, Tuesday nights, the prayer meetings of this house are a testimony of condition. Leonard Ravenhill, prayer does not condition God, it conditions us. Prayer does not win God to our view, it reveals God's view to us. No matter what I preach or what we claim to believe in our heads, the future will depend upon our times of prayer. We can have the worship team return this morning. Youngie Cho said these words, our problem is that we have thought about prayer, read about prayer, and even received teaching regarding prayer, but we just have not prayed. Now is the time to understand that prayer is the source of power. Now is the time to allow the Holy Spirit to bring a new brokenness and surrender. Now is the time to learn how to use our spiritual authority in learning how to hinder the work of the devil. Now is the time to pray. Charles Finney, if you know anything about the great move of God, he said this, I laid great stress upon prayer as an indispensable condition of promoting the revival. And so too do I today. We must pray. As the team comes, Charles Finney said these words concerning his chief intercessor. Nash was a most wonderful man in prayer, one of the most earnest, devout, spiritually minded, heavenly minded men I ever saw. He labored in many places in central northern New York and gave himself up to almost constant prayer, literally praying himself to death at last. I have been informed that he was found dead in his room in the attitude of prayer. Wow. There's his gravestone. It reads, labored with Finney, mighty in prayer. Share a little more of the history really quick. I just feel to do that. Didn't know if I would. This man served as Charles Finney's personal intercessor. He was key to the revival that followed Finney's ministry. We can all look at the life of Nash and see an example of how important prayer is to the kingdom of God revealed. When God would direct where a meeting was to be held, Nash would slip quietly into town and seek to get two or three people to enter into a covenant of prayer with him. Sometimes he had with him a man of similar prayer ministry. Together they would begin to pray fervently for God to move in the community. Our record of one such is told by Leonard Ravenhill. I met an old lady who told me a story about Charles Finney that has challenged me over the years. Finney went to Bolton to minister, but before he began, two men knocked on the door of her humble cottage wanting lodging. The poor woman looked amazed, for she had no extra accommodations. Finally, for about 25 cents a week, the two men, none other than Fathers Nash and Clary, rented a dark and damp cellar for the period of Finney's meetings, at least 2 weeks. And there, in that self-chosen cell, those prayer partners battled the forces of darkness. Another record tells that on one occasion, when I got to town to start a revival, a lady contacted me who had ran a boarding house. She said, "Brother Finney, do you know Father Nash? He and two other men have been at my boarding house for the last 3 days, but they haven't eaten a bite of food." I opened the door and pleaded. I peeped in and looked because I could hear them groaning, and I saw them down on their faces. They have been this way for 3 days, lying prostrate on the floor and groaning. I thought something awful must have happened to them. I was afraid to go in. I don't know what to do. Would you please come and see about them?" He responds, "No, it isn't necessary," Finney replied. "They just have a spirit of travail in prayer." Another states, "Charles Finney so realized the need of God's working in all his service that he was wont to send godly Father Nash on in advance to pray down the power of God into the meetings which he was about to hold. Not only did Nash prepare the communities for preaching, but he also continued in prayer during the meetings. Often Nash would not attend the meetings, and while Finney was preaching, Nash was praying for the Spirit's outpouring upon him." Finney stated, "I did the preaching altogether, and Brother Nash gave himself up almost continually to prayer. Often while the evangelist preached to the multitudes, Nash in some adjoining house would be upon his face in agony of prayer, and God answered in the marvels of his grace. With all due credit to Mr. Finney for what was done, it was the praying men who held the ropes, the tears shed, and the groans they uttered are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Things of God." Wow. I think there's room on the gauge. I think there's room. Lord, teach us to pray. Evermore, teach us to pray. The team's just going to sing this out. You can stand as a church. However you feel to respond today, I know the Lord is knocking on hearts. I realize we're a few minutes over. But I just like to say, if the Lord is saying to you, "Listen, it's time. It's time. I've designated my house a house of prayer." Maybe we've heard about prayer. We've been exhorted about prayer. We've even thought about prayer. We might have even read books on prayer. But it's time that we pray. And if you're here this morning and you've never given yourself to the designation of His house, would you commit to do that today? I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who is mighty in prayer. Not necessarily that others call us that, because we're not looking for the glory from others, but that God looks down and says, "Well done, my faithful servant. You're faithful in prayer." I'm just going to pray. The team's going to lift this up in closing. If you feel you need to respond, maybe it's just a step. You're saying, "God, I'm going to take it seriously from now on." The altar's always open. We'd love to pray with you. I trust you can receive the heart of Jesus this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you cared enough to actually tell us your heart for your house. God, we know that you'd have it be a house of all these other things, and they're so important and vital, and they bless so many lives. But Lord, first and foremost, you said a house of prayer. And so I pray that we would run with that, that we would respond to that and respect that. We would realize and recognize that that's where the power is, that we would care for the engine room of the house, because if we're powerful in prayer, we're powerful in all other areas, oh God. That we would be a people that give ourselves to prayer because we know we need to pray. We know our desperate need because we desire to pray. Let this ever be the condition of this house. As long as you shall tarry, Lord, may we always be found and known as a people committed to prayer. Thank you, Jesus.